perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Roy Carter.
A fight kick is in the time. He gets inside, well inside. And anywhere that you can see a spinning ring. Listening to the skin, you're not really behind the chair.
Mark Cutchin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we've just recorded 11 minutes of the best podcast ever, which has sadly lost a posterity. But, you know, I think the tone of it was pretty smug and happy, which reflects Richmond supporters generally at the moment.
Yeah, it's as I was saying, it's sort of a weird off-season because you know, everyone on social media is so positive. There's a glow surrounding the club. There aren't any even, the injuries we'll come to in a sec aren't even that bad. Like, it's literally the sort of, the worst problem we have right now is, players who are, you know, returning to full training in February, March, and sort of the 26th best player on our list not being as fit as he'd like coming back from his off-season break. It's rich people's problems, Nick.
I know. It's good times. I think the hottest thread on one of the fan forums at the moment is a discussion of what the collective noun for midgets is. Which tells you sort of how smug and happy everything is.
Yeah.
It's the internet, but not as we know it.
No. But, you know, as we should expect, and long may this last. Also, you know, I'm starting to miss football a bit.
A little bit. Perhaps we will need to talk about this. I haven't decided for Christmas whether I'm interested in getting just the grand final or the whole season. Rich people's problems.
It is. I actually just hung my premiership memorabilia above in the most obvious spot above my fireplace in my living room, which is an obvious sign that I'm the only adult who lives in the house. But also that I'm feeling pretty good about myself. All right, off-season news, Nick.
Well, the already mentioned injury news is pretty thin, but the worst of them seems to be Dan Rioli's foot injury. You know, it's pretty serious, taking a while to recover. He's out of the moon boot, which is the most positive part of the rehab. But yeah, if we're at the start of December, they're saying that he's doubtful for round one. I think that means he's not playing round one.
Yeah, that's tough. Like, feet are really serious injuries. So, you know, we wish him all the best, but I think we should just put a very long very long timeline on expectation from his return. Fortunately, as we'll discuss later, we do have some depth at that position.
I can't think of a position where we are better able to cover his an absence.
Jack Ringwalt once again has avoided doing preseason training up until December. So hats off to Jack. I believe that's his fifth or sixth season in a row. But normally he has to have sort of 8 surgeries to avoid it. But you know,
I quite like the draftees doing the overland track. It's sort of something different.
Nice photos. Also, you default approve of anything that involves Tasmania, so I'm not sure your judgment is entirely independent on that topic.
Yes, very much so. The other players injured, look, Markov and Short having minor shoulder injuries. Dion Prestia having an ankle clean out, which is a bit disappointing. I think we all enjoyed his work in the second half of the year when he got fit, but it would have been great for him to have a full pre-season, but thankfully it doesn't seem too bad, at least.
Seems better than he was last year. The club is saying that he's coming back
low base.
Yes, exactly. Coming back in January, which, considering they're playing down the seriousness of the ankle injury, doesn't dispel the conspiracy theory that's doing the traps that he has a long-term load issue with his knees. But we'll see.
Hmm. Premiership hero, Dion Prestia.
That's right.
Training the house down awards from you?
Well, one that I've just heard around the track, that Ryan Garthwaite came back from training looking very fit, had trained really hard at the club in the off-season. A couple of things about that. Firstly, he plays in the position that he could potentially replace Broad, so and one of our positions where we have the least depth. So he's got a shorter path to the first 22 than an awful lot of players on our list, first 21. But he's an interesting one because, 22. He's probably, arguably, his faults are obvious. He's not a great kick and his attributes would probably lend him to be a key position player, and he's not tall enough anymore to be your ideal height. On the other hand, as we saw in the VFL last year, he's really good at football. He's making the best as an 18-year-old at plus 190 centimetres. So there's a bit there, Nick.
There is, and I like that he covers a lot of ground, which is, I think, one of the key factors in our defensive success last year, that you've got defenders who are able to rotate and cover space and cover for each other. So, the team structure works really well. And the other encouraging factor for him is that Nathan Broad's kicking motion has cleaned up nicely since he joined the club, and that, the development staff have a proven track record now of helping guys with that sort of thing.
That is a nice case in point about how we never would have said that 3 years ago. Our development staff seem really good at their job. No one was saying that on Punt Road End 3 years ago.
No, and look, we'll go through it, but there's a bit to work with, and there's a bit to work on with our crop of draftees as well.
Mm. So just on the opposite of training the house down, there are internet reports that Shai Bolton was noticeably trailing the rest of the team, coming last in spring drills.
I was disappointed. For me, I think
it was pretty flat too.
Yeah, in a VFL team that performed really well at the end of last year, he for me was the standout talent.
Agreed.
So, a bit disappointing. I've heard that Richmond Tiger Talk favourite Jack Graham also has come back and looking really good. And again, remembering that he had a very interrupted pre-season last year, so obviously further domination away.
Absolutely. I don't want to be presumptuous and say the 2018 Brownlow is already in his hands, but definitely 2019 is looking like he has to be odds on, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, except if he and Dusty take votes from each other.
Or we trade him for five first round draft picks, as has been speculated on the internet.
As talented, yes. I mentioned the draftees before, but I think the commentary seems pretty positive on the group.
Well, we're not big on backslapping here, but me more through blind luck and you through some solid research, we absolutely nailed our pre-draft podcast. Yeah. But basically, we only talked about five or six players, and they were our first three picks. And particularly, I picked one guy that I liked, and it was just Jack Higgins.
I know. Look, he was the number one champion data ranked player, so it was very much within our wheelhouse. But yeah, I really like him. He's got the most amazing quad muscles you've ever seen, for one thing.
Absolutely. Amazing.
But, yeah, he's really good at football. He wins clearances. He wins ball in the forward line, in midfield. He can mark it. He can kick goals. He can tackle. Yeah, he's got a lot going for him.
Yeah, and I agree, he's a true mid, when we talked about turning Flossie or some of our other players into midfielders, he's the guy. He's someone who actually was a genuine mid who had very high possession rates, who got moved out to a half forward flank because his skills were used there. Look, the downside the internet trolls take on him is, the reason he's not a top 10 pick is he's short, and this sort of thing, where you've read a lot of things, he's not slow, but no, it's true, he's not slow, even relative to draftees, but he's slow relative to Toby Green. He's slow relative to someone if you want them to be a top 10 pick at that height and playing that position.
All of our other key forwards, with the exception of Tyson Stengel, are a lot quicker than he is, but he's also equally... None of them have a track record of winning 30 plus disposals in midfield. So that's I think
that's a nice way to put it. He's slower, but he's probably got a higher footy IQ than all of them.
Yeah, he does. He's got he reads the drop of the ball very nicely. I enjoyed that in his highlights. He's strong overhead as well, which is I think where part of the Toby Green comparison come from. But yeah, I think his medium term future is in the midfield.
But you know, and the sort of the other knock on him has been, hasn't it, that what's his upside?
Yeah, which was the question on Graham. But I think you can equally say that. You know, he's a really dedicated kid. You know, he's had a professional trainer. He's had a nutritionist. So maybe he won't benefit from being in the AFL system as much as some. But, yeah, I think the chances of him failing are really low. I think he'll at least be a solid footballer.
Yeah, and in the sort of, he might be in the category of guys to avoid at the preseason Man Monday because in his spare time he was coaching AFL. So, you know, he's a man with he's a real Renaissance man with the spread of interest he has in his life, which, you know, don't mind at all. But yeah, he's exciting. Really like it. And, you know, the bottom line is he has fantastic output and that matters in football.
Yeah, and he's the only draftee who's a genuine chance for round one.
Yeah, and look, I was thinking about this. He may have been in our best 22 in September 2017.
Interesting topic.
Anyway,
I think he's much likely to make an impact quickly than our second draft pick, but I liked our second draft pick, Callum Coleman-Jones. And in the pre-draft show, I sort of compared him perhaps a little bit to Josh Jenkins in sort of size, because he's a large human being. He's 201 centimetres, 98 kilos, and will clearly fill out to be quite a bit more than that. But as a ruckman, I actually think he's got a little bit of the nank about him.
High
possession rate, relatively low hit out rate, despite having reasonably long arms and being 201 centimetres, which says maybe he's not super. He doesn't have a huge vertical leap. You know, he had a bit of a knee injury during the year, which may have impeded that. But I like him.
Yeah, in a sign of sort of the insular nature of South Australian football, he compared himself to Paddy Ryder in some of his... Yeah, I watched the highlights. Yeah, I wouldn't have gone there.
He's not Paddy Ryder. He's very clean below his knees, which is nice.
Going back to your net comparison, you like some of his ruck highlights, they're very clever. They show a lot of coordination. McAvoy might be a comparison as well.
Yeah, he's a good contested mark, which Nank's not bad at, but it's not a huge strength. But yeah, that's perhaps where you might see him in the immediate future, is positioned deep forward, as a big marking target.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how quickly, whether he can rack adequately, because he might get some JLT time. So it's the new preseason comp. If he can rack semi-adequately, he may well get, it's not impossible he might get a senior game or two, especially if Griff, doesn't come back. If we still had angry internet trolls, we could call him Adam Patterson II because he's sort of, he's bit taller than Paddo was, but, sort of, is he a ruckman? Is he a forward? Too slow to be a forward. Not tall enough to be a ruckman, but, you know, that's, there are, but, I mean, you can say the thing about McAvoy and he's a premiership ruckman. And, you know, Jenkins, obviously a key part part of a very good team. So these players are have functional uses. So it would just be interesting. But he is slightly a tweener in his attributes. Mm. But that actually has a position in most AFL teams.
Yeah, and his goal kicking isn't great as well, which if you're going to play him a forward, you don't want to clean him up. But
that's going to cause you trouble down the track.
Yeah, he's a big boy, and he's a big talented athlete, and you know he's gone a lot higher than Sam Hayes. Yeah, because he does cover ground.
Mm. And we'll come back to that big boy point later, because that's a theme of our drafting this year.
Mm. Well, that's the next pick, and he was Noah Bolter, who I didn't like all that much in the pre-draft show, and what. You know, I've come around on it a bit. Somebody suggested having a look at. He played a good game versus the young South Australian kid Jack Lukosius, who's touted as the top overall pick for next year. And so, you know, he did sort of when focused in a one-on-one matchup, he did well. Because what worried me about him is that. You know, he's freely admitted he doesn't watch a lot of football. He's just not that into football, other than, you know, more as something he likes to do. And now it's his job. So
I mean, what's there to like about a football except money, fame, and women? You know.
Yeah. He's a really good athlete. Like the Alex Rance comparisons, athleticism wise. Yeah, you can see that. And yeah. Yeah, with even less football sense as well. So,
yeah, I mean, we made the point that Alex Rance, for all as awkward as he looked in the VFL in the first few years, was still an All-Australian under 18 on a very good team. Now, Bolter was not that player, which partly reflects his slightly lower draft position than Alex. But some people really loved Noah Bolter. Like, there were people who had him sort of going... You know, around 12.
Yeah, and there is a question about position, but I think they're all. I'll talk about this with Ben Miller. I do think that if you're not sure what position they are, a back or a forward, they're normally a back.
Yeah, I tend to agree. A little birdie said that apparently the both sets of coaches, the forwards and the backs, are keen to have him train. And if you look sort of the recent history of our VFL players, that we do most of our young talls, not that the pipeline of young talls has exactly been it's a pretty narrow pipeline. Yeah, but they've done a bit of both. So I suspect he'll wind up sort of bouncing around just for purely selfish reasons. I'd probably start him back because, you know, if he's semi-competent, he's very quickly our backup third proper tall.
Well, we'll get to that. I definitely agree. Patrick Naish, I'm not sure what else there is to say that we haven't said before in the show a number of times, but matching a pick in the mid-30s so that we effectively only gave up a third-round pick and downgraded a third-round pick to a fourth-round pick. That was as good as we could have hoped for someone who was a consensus top 20 or so pick.
Yeah, it seems a bit redundant to praise our front office management that just won a premiership, but I was very pleased with that overall bit of drafting, the way we got extra value from Brisbane in the trade of the picks, as you pointed out, in our pre-draft pod, and then basically we managed to we seem to have exactly picked where Patrick was going to go, the plan went perfectly.
Mm. Yeah, and look, I don't think he's going to play senior football. I think maybe he might get a go in pre-season, but yeah, he's going to need to be on the protein shakes.
He's an outside player that doesn't play in the you know, he's not a sort of specialist pocket player. He's a player that plays in the centre of the ground through the, you know, you could see on his teams he was the outlet receiver, all around the ground. But that's a role that those guys don't develop quickly. And the good thing about him is he's coming into a team with low expectations and he won't be under a lot of pressure to play early.
Well, exactly. And as a father-son pick, I think, you know, you may be under, you know, if he'd been our top pick, he'd be under a lot more pressure. But as coming in as the fourth guy we've picked in a premiership team, I think pressure's off.
Yeah, if he'd been our top pick, father son, in a desperate year, you could see in a maybe a bit
see,
cynical
see Tom Roach / Andrew Rance.
I was just about to say that, Wallace era, Wallace Hart, Frawley era, desperation members are getting angry. We need to give them a distraction. We'll roll out. Anyway. He's extraordinary outside, as was pointed out. He's below the magic 30% number on how many contested possessions he gets. But, as I also mentioned, you just watch the tape of him. Watch how his teammates just give the ball to him in every possible opportunity.
We've talked before about how teams have a hierarchy of people who kick the ball, like people like Dusty for us, Bashir Hooley coming out of the back line. But, Patrick Naish was... guys would defer to him.
What do you think? That's to me, that is his future role on the team is potentially replacing Bashir. Does that make sense to you?
I can see that, and particularly as the other end of the field's pretty crowded.
indeed.
Our last national draft pick, Ben Miller. He's a really interesting player. He just tested the lights out at the draft camp. We were texting and you compared him to David Gordis.
Just redrafted Dave Gordis, yeah.
Yeah, who he remains by far the fastest player we've ever drafted, and it's not even particularly close. Miller's not quite as super freaky as that, but it's pretty freaky. He's tested at a similar speed to guys like Connor Menadue. He's got a big leap. He's done really well in the agility test. He's done well in the goal-kicking test. And so you're thinking, why is he a fourth-round draft pick? Well, he's a 196-centimetre ruckman with a very middling track record. And those guys are pretty hit and miss in translating, because you've got to project to how they translate at a different position at the next level.
Yeah, it's hard to find. It's going back to the juniors, what position do they play? It's hard to find the sort of the short ruckman. If they could play another position, they would. So the short ruckman, they played there because they got the athleticism to compensate, but it's sort of the way you put the good athlete kid who's too unco to play a key position. So that's the question. One of the other good things about him, though, is that he's got all the athleticism. He's also been living in Kalgoorlie. So, hopefully he's sort of the opposite of Jack Higgins. He might have some unexplored football ability that could be drawn out of him.
Yeah, and, maybe he's probably a little bit, one of the more successful late Richmond draft picks of years gone by, Ray Hall. He's a similar size ruckman. So, I didn't mind it.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it was drafting for need, and he's interesting. He's got pieces that potentially make him a viable AFL player. So I'm actually sort of a bit excited about him, to be honest.
It'll be interesting. It's always you look forward to see how these guys translate to the VFL, and normally. We're coming off another disappointing year and you're looking for reason for hope, but even when you're smug and happy, it's always nice to see fresh blood and new hope.
Yeah, and I was sort of feeling that, I haven't lost my passion for being a sort of obsessive fan when I'm still getting really into late-round draft picks.
Well, speaking of the last draft pick, I literally laughed out loud when they announced we'd draft Liam Baker from Subiaco, who is yet another very small, nippy forward pocket.
Yeah, I read an article about him in a Western Australian piece just about mature age draft picks and fast, quick forward pocket with good goal sense, but just they kept saying over and over again, good defensive pressure. And it's it's like they've gone mad. They're drunk with small forwards. Yeah. Well, he's sort of Dimmer's sort of got a Willy Wonka complex, and you know, I don't know, but yeah, it's a heavy, heavy area of strength now in the team.
I know. Like I worked out he's sort of effectively taken Taylor Hunt's spot on the list. Yeah, that's a change in philosophy.
It is indeed. I guess you can argue that, with Rioli, because Bolton and Stengel aren't exactly a direct replacement to Rioli, and neither is Higgins, that, you know, maybe he could actually take a bit of Rioli's spot, but, you know, they all have to play somewhere. So, yeah, it's a fascinating choice. Clearly not for need, but.
No, clearly best available.
Yeah, but interesting. The next kid's interesting too, isn't he?
Yeah, so this I like this. I haven't quite worked out how to. I know him as Derek Smith, but the club announced him as. Can you pronounce it, Derek Ergomosi Smith?
Yes, or Eggs.
Eggs. Yeah. So he's
apparently it's a very common name up Mildura way.
Oh, there we go. So he's noticeable. So he's a Category B rookie, which is under the new academy system. If you go through the whole draft without being picked, we can add him to the list as a Category B rookie, where you don't take the spot of one of the established guys. And yeah, he's the first guy out of our Northern Victoria Academy. He played four games for the VFL team this year as a 19-year-old and played some decent football. I mean, he's not a huge prospect, but he's not a bad athlete, and he's 186 centimetres, so he's not a bad size, which is a welcome contrast. But I think, he's also noticeable if you're nitpicking about our VFL team in recent years, is that it hasn't produced any AFL talent from the VFL only listed guys, whereas normally, four or five guys a year get drafted out of the VFL, and we haven't been producing any of them. You'd like to see better than that.
You would. Just on the overall size issue, there's one thing that really struck me with our big men is they're all big men.
Yes, they are large human beings. Yeah, when looking at the photos of the draftees, the three things that struck me were A, Jack Higgins quads, B, how ugly the training top was in a sort of really early 2000s sort of a way, and yeah, they're some large human beings.
Yeah, I mean, I won't name his name, but, you know, we have had some smaller, some tall but quite physically slight players that, were not physically imposing. And, you know, none of these guys are amazingly tall for their position, but they're big boys, they're strong, they'll impact the contest hard. You know, they're Dave Astry-style players, and they're more than strong enough for their position. So that's an interesting philosophy, and also gives them a chance to perhaps maybe play a bit earlier, but also, you know, it's I like it as a general approach to your tall player. I mean, maybe they're also the best available, but...
And when you look at the balance of the list, effectively Bolter has taken Jake Batchelor's spot on the list, and he has risk associated, but he is clearly a key position size human being. So yeah, I think the list balance is a bit better.
Yeah, as much as Jay Batchelor, you know, looked like Tarzan, particularly in 2016, 15, maybe. Look, he never was a Josh Gibson-style player. He would get destroyed by the 195 centimetre tall.
The bigger guys. Yeah.
So you've replaced a tweener with someone who's legitimately may have a chance to. He may not turn out that way, but has a chance to match up on Tom Hawkins.
Yeah. Speaking of list balance, we now have 20 guys under the age of 22, which is Yeah, I think that's not a bad place to be, especially when you're the reigning premier.
Yeah, I mean the obvious the issue this list has had is going to have is what happens when you know the Rants Dusty generation goes, but of course that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
But
replacing great players is always hard, and that perhaps is the concern. Like I think it's a good group, but perhaps it lacks star power to an extent. Mm.
Again, difficult to fix when you're drafting as the reigning premiers. But you know, we have theoretically drafted Rance's replacement.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I like as well that we don't seem scared of the go home factor. Two Western Australians, South Australian. You know, we're just backing the club culture that we keep these guys, and fair enough. Since we haven't had a go home problem for quite a while.
Nick, I was in Richmond a couple of weeks ago, and just do have to say, why would you want to live anywhere else? You know, it's fantastic. Actually, I had brunch with Josh Caddy and Dion Brester at the table next door. But yeah, the
were they WhatsApping Tom Lynch?
Good one. I didn't ask. I was mainly, and you know, sadly, I didn't have my body fat test applied, so otherwise, I would have, you know, just quietly leaned over and excuse me, Josh.
He looks pretty. He looks pretty trim, actually.
Yeah, they both looked in great condition. The great Nick, as did Prestia's wife/girlfriend. I could see why we're not afraid of the go home factor, because if we can't keep people, why would you go back to Adelaide, you know, if you're coming to play for Richmond?
Yeah, that whole winning finals in front of 100,000 people looked like pretty good fun.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.